Today, our speaker is Rabbi Rami Shapiro. Rabbi Rami was ordained as a Reform Rabbi in 1981, and he earned a doctorate in religious studies in 1985. And I think we haven't updated this, but his where's your radio program now?
Spiritualityandhealth.com.
Yes, so you can listen to his radio program at spiritualityandhealth.com. Many of you read his column called Roadside Assistance for the Spiritual Traveler that he writes for Spirituality and Health magazine. Rabbi Rami has three books coming out in 2015, A Mount and Mountain, Volume on Genesis, and Examination of the Golden Rule, and a collection of poetry. Rabbi Rami's topic today is why blasphemy laws might be a good thing, but not for the reason you think. Let's welcome Rabbi Rami.
Good morning.
Morning.
This is a difficult topic for me because one of the reasons I like coming here is because you're the only liberals in town, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, and I love to be with people who are on the liberal end of things, or at least I used to. So here's my concern. This will be my last talk here at the Murfreesboro Fellowship because I'm going to come out against what I think is a cardinal rule of liberalism, and that is free speech. So let me give you my credentials on the other side before I tell you why I have given up on free speech and why I'm going to call you to join an organization that absolutely fights free speech in America because it's just an evil thing. But before I thought it was evil, I thought it was a good thing. And when we had the attacks, really, on the mosque in town, we had that big rally. Well, some of us were for it, but there was a big march from one of the mega churches, I forget which church it was. Yeah, Worldwide Outreach. And they came there marching up Main Street, and they're chanting, ignore the hate, because we were the haters, the people on the liberal side. Because what we said was nothing. We decided to be silent. Yeah. So there were hundreds of us just standing there, and we had signs and placards, and I made this. And it's called, I actually created a website, 45words.org. And that's because there's 45 words in the First Amendment. So, Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abrogating the freedom of speech or of the press or of the people to peacefully assemble, etc. It's 45 words. But we're going to focus on this freedom of speech thing, which I am now suggesting is the bane of all existence. And any liberal who supports freedom of speech must be jailed. Well, maybe not jailed, but you know. So here's where I got excited about this. First, the Charlie Hebdo thing, right? When the Muslims, those Muslim guys went out and attacked the magazine and killed all those people in France and then went to a deli and killed some people there. And all of that sparked by freedom of speech. Charlie Hebdo's, the magazine's, liberty in France, and they don't have as much free speech as we do, but the liberty that they have in France to do this horrendous Islamophobic hate stuff. Now, they also do Catholic hate stuff and Jewish hate stuff. I want to see it all banned. But when that happened in Charlie Hebdo, it was France. I don't want to give up everything French. I mean, I love their fries. So I didn't really do anything. But then we had the thing in Garland, Texas, Pamela Geller's thing, where she had this contest, $10,000, to draw a cartoon of Muhammad. And I don't know if it was the best cartoon that would win or the most offensive cartoon that would win, but either way, it was her right as an American to do this horrendous thing and deliberately go out and insult Muslims. There are, now I don't remember the exact number, I've just slipped out of my head, but I think there are more Muslims in the United States than there are Jews. So that means there's around 6 million, 7 million Muslims. She insulted 7 million Muslims. They rose up by two, and two of them from Phoenix, there were no Muslims in Texas that were pissed off. Two Muslims from Phoenix, they went and they tried to do some damage and they were shot by that police officer. And we thank Allah and praise the officer for that. But it was her right to free speech that let her do it. And we know that's what it was about because she came out and said, this is all about freedom of speech. And maybe it is. And as we define freedom of speech,
in this country, we have the freedom to say things that are hurtful and insulting to other people in almost any context except our universities. Now, I don't know about here, but in liberal universities, you can't insult anybody except Jews. But she's right about we have the right, because we have freedom of speech, to say hurtful, awful things. And you have a right to protest, but not to murder. So there's a limit. So I have changed my mind about this free speech thing, and I am now siding with the organization of the Islamic Conference at the United Nations to prohibit free speech when that speech would, this is a quote, fuel discrimination, extremism, and misperception, leading to polarization and fragmentation with dangerous, unintended, and unforeseen consequences. It means not speech that's designed to go out and rally the troops and have them go attack a church or a synagogue or a mosque. That's not legal. But what the Islamic Conference wants at the UN and what I'm supporting in the United States is that we no longer should have the right to say things that would fuel discrimination or extremism or even misperceptions that might lead to polarization and fragmentization that might result in horrible, unforeseen things. We have to take it one step further and not say anything that is at all inflammatory. So I'm not the only one calling for this. We already have these laws in many countries. Here's just a brief list. Andorra. I don't even know where that is. But Andorra, Cyprus, Croatia, the Czech Republic, Denmark, Spain, Finland, Germany, Greece, Iceland, Italy, Lithuania, Norway, the Netherlands, Poland, Portugal, Russian Federation, Slovakia, Switzerland, Turkey, Ukraine, as well as a number of Arab countries, all have these laws prohibiting religious insult. And that's the term they use, and that's the term we should focus on. We have to make it illegal to insult religion in this country. So what I want to do is create an organization, and I'm calling you to help me, and I'll come back to this at the end, calling you to help me form this organization, not the 45words.org, but Americans for a Blasphemy-Free America. Americans for a Blasphemy-Free America, or ABFA, ABFA. Doesn't say anything, which is good, but it's going to be a 501c3 organization. We're going to fight blasphemy. Now, you can start in all kinds of different ways. I want to go to what I think is the root cause of all of these problems on the religious end. And that isn't people like Pam Geller who are exercising their right to free speech so they can blaspheme against Islam. That's just the surface. I want to go against the religions themselves. Because the religions themselves insult one another. If we're going to start with outlawing blasphemous speech, we should start at the root. And that's the religions themselves. Let me give you some examples. Each time the Torah is read in a synagogue, not just for the last 2,000 years, but yesterday, when in the synagogues in Nashville or anywhere else, except for one synagogue I know of in Cincinnati where they don't read the Torah at all, when the ark is opened in a synagogue, you've ever seen it, they open the ark, they take out the scrolls of the Torah, they lay it on the table for the reader to read, and before each section is read, they say a prayer, and part of the prayer says, Bachar banu mikol ha'amim, that God chose us, the Jews, from among all the people to receive the only true revelation. Now that's insulting, unless you're a Jew. If you're a Jew, it's like, right? But if you're a Christian, that's insulting, because you have your own book. And if you're a Muslim, that's insulting. You have your own book, let alone Hindus and Buddhists. I mean, Jews are equal opportunity offenders. Every week, and they actually do this on Mondays and Thursdays as well, three times a week when they pull the Torah out and they read from the Torah, they engage in insulting, blasphemous hate speech. And they have to be stopped. Similarly, Jews claim, this is part of our tradition, that God gave a single revelation on Mount Sinai to Moses. During the day, he gave Moses the written Torah, right, the five books of Moses. And then at night, we're taught that he gave Moses the interpretation, the oral law. And those two things together comprise the entirety of God's revelation to the world. There isn't anything else. So New Testament, Bhagavad Gita, Quran, Dhammapada, any of these other Lao Tzu's Tao Te Ching, any of these other great works of religious literature do not have their roots in the one true God. There's only one God. We've got him and his book and his country, and no one else does. Now, again, to me, that sounds great because I happen to be in the in-group. But if you're not, that's probably insulting. So I'm saying, as part of the program, the agenda of Americans for a blasphemy-free America, that we have to tell Jews to stop doing this. That Judaism has to be outlawed unless they rework their whole system, which they can't do because then it's not going to be Judaism anymore. If we're not the chosen people with the one true revelation and the one holy piece of real estate, then it's not Judaism. So I'm calling for the end of Judaism as part of freeing America from these horrible blasphemies. One more thing from Judaism. There's a prayer that Jews say. Now, this is mostly Orthodox Jews, but still, they're the real Jews. So we'll give them credit for that. So there's a prayer they say. It's called the Prayer Concerning Heretics. And this is the prayer. I'm just going to read to you. For the apostates, let there be no hope. And let the arrogant government be speedily uprooted in our day. Let the Nosrim, and I'll tell you what these all mean, and the Minim be destroyed in a moment. And let them be blotted out of the book of life and not be inscribed together with the righteous. Blessed art thou, O Lord, who humblest the arrogant. All right, so who are they talking about? So the apostates, those are Jews who are no longer Orthodox Jews. So that's me, but okay. All right, so there's no hope for people like me. So that hurts me. That's an insult to me. I'm offended. They should take that out. Let the arrogant government be speedily destroyed. So that's the Romans, but they're gone already. So we don't have to worry about that. Let the Nosrim, that's from Nazarene, the Christians. The Christians and the meaning, Jewish sectarians who have other, these little groups of Jews that were trying alternatives to mainstream Judaism 2,000 years ago, the Christians and these sectarians, they should be destroyed in a moment. Now, if you happen to be a sectarian Jew, like a Reform or Conservative or something else, this is the end of you. If you happen to be a Christian, then these Jews call for your destruction in a moment. Now, they're not saying that they're going to go out and do anything about it. God is going to do something about it. But the issue is not how realistic is their capacity to carry out this hateful thought. It's the hateful thought, because the hateful thought fuels discrimination, extremism, and misperception, leading to polarization and fragmentation with dangerous, unintended, and unforeseen consequences. All you need is one crazy Jew and one crazy synagogue who reads this and goes, I'm going after the Christians. So that has to be stopped. And these things are essential to Judaism. I want to see Judaism banned. Let's take Christianity. Gospel according to John, chapter 8. Verse 44, talking to the Jews. You, Jesus says, you are the father, you are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father will do you. No, sorry. The lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, so you're a murderer. And he rests not in truth, so you are a liar. Because there is no truth in him, there's no truth in you. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of liars. And by extension, the Jews are the liars. Well, that's hurtful. So, and there's lots of those. I mean, there's lots of statements like that in the New Testament. I think, and I, you know, my organization, Americans for a Blasphemy-Free America, calls for the end of that kind of speech. And that means really the end of Christianity. Jesus is said to say that he is the, you know, the only way to the Father is through him. He is the way and the life and the truth and life. Well, that's hurtful. It's hurtful if you're a Muslim, if you're a secularist, if you're a humanist, if you're a Jew, if you're a Hindu or a Buddhist. That's hurtful. That has to go. Christian theology, like Jewish theology, is absolutely anathema to the kind of country, kind of world we want to live in. We've got to do away with these religions. Then there's the Christian theology of supersessionism. That's the belief that the Christian church has replaced as God's chosen people, replaced the Jews as God's chosen people. So chosenness was offensive enough, but now we've got a new chosen, it's the Christians. So, of course, that insults the Jews, but it doesn't help the Muslims. It still insults Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus. So that has got to be done away with. And then just to give you another example, the Catholic liturgy. 1955. Here's the 1955 version of this Catholic prayer that was actually taken out for a while and put back in. Let us pray also for the faithless Jews. This is their response, I think, to let us get rid of the Christians in a moment, right? Let us pray also for the faithless Jews, that Almighty God may remove the veil from their hearts so that they too may acknowledge Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. Let us kneel. And then it says in the prayer book, pause for silent prayer. So we'll wait. Arise, Almighty and Eternal God, who dost not exclude from thy mercy even Jewish faithlessness. Hear our prayers, which we offer for the blindness of that people, that acknowledging the light of thy truth, which is Christ, they may be delivered from their darkness. Through the same Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. That's insulting. That gives rise to all these, you know, these complaints about extremism and everything else. That's got to go. I'd like to say that Islam was better, but it's not. It's the third of these three. It hasn't learned anything from the other two. So regarding Christianity, Islam says that while Jesus was a prophet, he wasn't God. If you're a believing Christian, that's hurtful. You don't want someone to deny your God. You'd rather be like the flag folks and say, oh, no, your God's cool, right next to the pagan goddess, which, of course, is insulting because you don't want to be next to the pagan goddess, right? So they say that Jesus wasn't God, thus insulting millions and millions of Christians who take him to be the second person of the Holy Trinity. And then they say that Jesus actually wasn't even crucified on the cross or anywhere else. He wasn't crucified. At the last minute, God substituted somebody else. I think his name was Brian. They don't. Muslims don't say that, but I think I've seen that documentary, Life of Brian. So I think that's what it was. So that's insulting. That's wrong. That should be banned. And then regarding the Jews, in a hadith, because there's the Quran and there's the hadith. Those are the two sacred sources of text for the Muslim. Just there's the oral written law and the oral written Torah and the oral Torah for the Jews. So they have the same thing. So in the hadith, it says, the day of judgment will not come about until Muslims fight the Jews, when the Jew will hide behind stones and trees. And the stones and trees will say, oh, Muslims! There's a Jew behind me. Come and kill him. Only the box thorn tree would not do that because it's one of the trees of the Jews. So then there's a commentary that says Jews plant a lot of those trees because they can hide. Then it says, this is from a text about Islam. Jews in the minds of Muslims are debased, cursed, and anathematized forever by God, and so can never repent and be forgiven. So you can't even become a Muslim and get out of it. They are cheats and traitors, defiant and stubborn. They killed the prophets. They're liars who falsify scripture and take bribes. They're infidels who are ritually unclean. A foul odor emanates from them. Sometimes that's true, but I do. Such is the image of the Jew in classic Islam, degraded and malevolent. Every time they say this, and they do say this, it should be banned. Islam, Christianity, Judaism should be outlawed in this country and around the world. And I would not end there, but that's where I want to start. There's no point in starting with Pam Geller and people on the surface. Pam Geller gets her passion from these religions. From the mindset of these religions, the mindset that says we can curse the other, the mindset that says we do demonize, we can demonize. Not only can we, God demands it of us. That's why we have to be part of this Americans for a Blasphemy-Free America and put an end to this. So this is what I'm asking you to do, to help me do. Americans for a Blasphemy-Free America will file a series of class action lawsuits against churches, mosques, and synagogues. demanding that they renounce all teachings, texts, and teachers who spread hate speech in the name of their respective religions or paid billions of dollars to compensate people for emotional distress. Either they stop doing it or they send us money. The only thing that stops me from doing this is the money. All right? I need money to pull this off. So this is a call for you to participate. I need your help. The initial fundraising goal, is $2.5 million. It'll take a couple of thousand dollars to actually build the website, get another sign. The rest of it goes to me personally to run the thing. So, you know. I'm very upfront about that. But I do need your help to make this happen. So please, help make America blasphemy free. Your future depends on it, and so does mine. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Rami. Okay. If you are proud of this church, become its advocate. I what can I do now? What can I do? I feel like Stephen Colbert's been here.